outstanding theme for 2016. The question is, are you thriving or surviving? While we answer this question individually, we must ask this question and answer this question congregationally. The leadership of this great church put forth this year a theme that would help reposition this church, that it might grow again, that it might thrive again. In putting forth this theme, we looked at areas that have to be improved or have to be addressed if we're going to thrive. One was, we needed leadership. No people will rise any higher than its leadership. So the first quarter we addressed purposeful leadership. We have identified men that have come forward to be added to the leadership of this church. We have begun our specialized training. It's going very well, and all of the men, our ministers and elders and prospective elders, we meet every 2 weeks for 3 hours to go into intense study, because we want to make ourselves better leaders. We also recognize that church cannot be blessed if its people is not a disciplined people. God will not bless us unless we consider the state of the soul. We must do this individually, and we must do this as a body. We cannot just go along and not address those things that God is not pleased with. Third quarter, we are going to put emphasis on evangelism. This is the heart and the soul of God's purpose for our existence, and that is that we who are a called out people will be witnesses to him, examples for him, that we might call others. Next week, we enter into the third quarter. We have asked Brother Robinson, Brother Edward Robinson, who is a professor at Southwestern Christian College, well-educated man. He has at least 2 doctorates, several masters, speaks English, Latin, Greek, all of that. I know he can write it. I don't know if he can speak it all, but I've seen him write Latin, Greek, and English. He is an author, great historian. You're going to be blessed because of the insight and the wisdom of this man. He'll be with us on next Lord's Day. To commence our third quarter, say it with me, witnessing to what? Each what? Reach and what? Teach. Each reach and teach. You will be receiving, there are many of these invitation cards advertising our Thriving Sunday on next Lord's Day. We want you to get plenty of these. We want you to use these cards to invite your friends. We're going to make records with visitors this third quarter. we're going to have so many visitors that you're going to ask, where are the members? I've already seen it in my vision and in my sleep. I say the members don't even have places to sit because we have so many. That was a dream. Now, it could become a nightmare, but I thought it was a dream. Amen. Wanted to make it a vision. But we want you to invite your friends. If what we have is benefiting you, invite your friends. They need to know. So please get this card. Come thrive with us. And we're going to have a hospitality room for our visitors. This is something new. It will be in place on next week. When you bring your visitors, we're going to ask you to escort your visitors to the hospitality room where they will be welcomed officially, and they will be exhorted with so much love that we want them to know that this is a place, if they so desire, to work out their soul salvation. And so we ask you to do that. A lot of planning, Brother James, the service groups, our leadership, communications team, all of us are working diligently to make this next Sunday a great Lord's Day. So that means you need to be here, bring your friends, make sure that you get the card. And on that Sunday night, we're going to have a balloon release and an ice cream fellowship. Now, the balloon release is everything that I'm going to preach today that you want to get rid of. You're going to put on that balloon, and we're going to release it and let it go. Amen. Amen. I'm glad some of you laughed. Some of you didn't laugh, but that's okay. That's okay. Good to see Chris Mitchell in our audience today. And this is you, right, Chris? All right. Good to see Chris here today. I want you to turn with me. I started a lesson on last Lord's Day, and said I was going to complete it today. I will do the very best I can in the next 25 minutes to go as far as I can. One thing that we have learned in our class, and that is that we have to be timely, and we cannot expect to give all the information that we need to give, and so we have to be expeditious about our time. We're going to do that, and if I need to, I'll come back a third time and finish what I have started. And I hope that you will stay with us, and you will be encouraged by what we're going to say. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. Last week, I titled this first verse as the report, and we talked in terms of making sure that we have a good reputation, understanding that immorality of any type is something that brings bad reputation upon God's people and upon God's means of winning the world. And so for that reason, and especially since this man is guilty of incest, has his father's wife, it's not even named among Gentiles. So even non-Christians know that this is not right. So we want to make sure that we keep the reputation of the church. The second point was the response. The response of the Corinthians. And Paul addressed that in verse number 2. He said, and you are puffed up. Now, this is an exalted thought of oneself. This is carnal thinking. This is where you're self-centered. That always, when you're thinking in terms of satisfying self, that puffs one up. And he says that this is not just the case with the man, but this is the case with the church. And he said, you are puffed up and have not rather mourned. And we talked in terms of this mourning over sin. We got to have the right attitude and response. And that is where sin is seen as an enemy of the people. is not something that is glamorous. It's not something that we should be entering into. It's something that we need to know is very detrimental to that individual and to the body of Christ. I also emphasize to you that the idea is to make sure that the sin and the individual, when you hate the sin, but you love the individual, because it's God's desire to separate that individual from his sin and to save the individual. Now, that's a challenge for us, because once a person does something against us, once they sin against us, we don't want to fool with them nor their sin. Amen. And I know that. I know that, because I'm like that too. No. You didn't do me right, so I don't want to have anything to do with you. Now, I'm going to forgive you. That's the way we talk. Now, I'm just telling you how we talk. I'm going to forgive you, but No. What we had, we ain't going to have no more. Amen. Now, you know that's the way we talk, but that's not the way God wants it. Thought I'd just mention that. All right. Again, now, what I did was I shared with you that you know, when you're puffed up, it's a breeding ground for all types of sin. And Galatians 5:16-21 states a lot of these sins, because they manifest themselves, not only fornication, but lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, strife, jealousies. You show me a church where they're puffed up, and I'll show you a church that is divided, a church that's cliquish, a church that people have attitudes toward one another, and they're not getting along. So we don't want that attitude. The opposite of being puffed up is humility, and that is serving God in humility, understanding that all of us are under the mighty hand and power of God. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are the ones who God has asked to be a witness to the world, to make the world a better place. The world will not be a better place if the church doesn't live up to its calling. And we're here to make the world better, not Donald Trump. Make America great? Donald Trump can't do it. I tell you, the church can. The church can. And when we preach the gospel, Jesus Christ is the one who will make America great again and make America great and make any person great, because that's really where it is. Now, in the next 20 minutes, what I want to do is address the remedy. And you're going to have to stay with me. And I want you to really listen to this well, because I truly believe that if we put this into practice, our church will be a better church, and we will have a good foundation on which to grow again. Notice it says in verse number 3, now this is the remedy for this man who had his father's wife, and just blatantly sitting up in the church, and nobody saying anything. Oh, it's okay. All right. For verily, being absent in body, and I'm reading from the American Standard Version this morning. For I verily, being absent in body, but present in spirit. So he's not there, but he said, I'm present in spirit. Have already, as though I were present, judged him. That's the man who has his father's wife, that hath so wrought this thing. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus, ye being gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus, watch him, deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, here's what he's saying. A surgical procedure needs to take place in this church. It may be painful, but it's got to happen. This man and his sin must be extricated for the sake of the church and for the sake of the man who has done this deed. In other words, he needs to be taken out of the fellowship. This is what is called church discipline. This is a biblical mandate It is often called the forgotten commandment because churches don't want to discipline. Churches don't want to censure people, don't want to excommunicate people. But this is just how serious sin is, that Paul calls for a public censure of individuals who blatantly disobey the commandment of God and live in violation of his will. It's got to be dealt with radically. Now watch this now. Paul appeals to apostolic authority. He said, I'm not there, but my spirit is there. He is appealing to apostolic authority. And then to the authority of Christ, thus making this an obligation. When he appeals to his own authority and he appeals to Christ's authority, then he says to the church, you have an obligation. And what is that obligation? Publicly, as the whole church, you are to deliver this individual to Satan. Apostolic authority, Christ's authority, church's responsibility. Because of our relationship with Christ, because of our relationship and teaching by the apostles, certain things the church is obligated to do. Now, I know that this has not been done in this church since I've been here. And I've been here almost 40 years. But our leadership has said, this cannot happen. We've got to do what God has asked us to do. So, church discipline. After we teach on it, and after we study on it, I'm introducing it now, but we're going to study it. And brothers and sisters, somebody might be excommunicated. I'm not trying to hide. I'm trying to read my notes. Amen. I took time to write this out, so I know exactly what I said. Right? To deliver simply means it's got to be official. It must be formally done. This is excommunication, withdrawal of fellowship because of the nature. I believe if we had done this right earlier, we could have saved some homes. We could have saved some families. Because of the nature and the procedure, it's got to be publicly done. There are many who feel that this is an exaggeration. They say this is too humiliating. This is out of the character of the love of Christ. They say, how dare you do something like that? Christ is a Lord of love, and he's trying to... Well, let me let Jesus talk for himself. Now, I want to show you what Jesus says about sin and about discipline. Matthew 18, verse number 15, 16, there's a four-stage procedure for dealing with sin. And here's what he says. Are you there? If thy brother sin against thee, go show him his fault between what? Thee and what? Him alone. If he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he hear thee not, in other words, you went to him. First, here's the first stage. You sinned against me. You've done me wrong. It's not public, is it? It's between what? You and me, all right? But here's the way. Sin is so serious that Jesus said, you go to him and you tell him, first stage, if he hear you. Now, say you go to them and you say, well, I don't care what you say. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to do what I want to do any kind of way. You know, y'all in your own home, you tried to tell him you need to stop doing what you're doing. You know you're wrong. And see, nobody knows but you and him. And Jesus said, tell him. Tell her. And if he doesn't hear you, let him talk all that bad talk. Let her act like she don't hear. Now, this is what Jesus said, stage two. Are you with me? Jesus says, if he hears you, you've gained thy what? That's important. Thou've gained thy what? Say something happens in the ministry where two people get into it. And somebody curses out one of the ministry leaders, and it's just between you. And you know that they did you wrong. Say, go to them, tell them. And if they hear you, what have you done? You've gained your what? Gained your what? No, you gained your enemy. You gained your what? All right? Now watch it. But if he hear thee not, take with thee one or two more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. It's not about hearsay now. It's about if you bring a charge against your brother, you got to prove it. See, a lot of folk won't want things to be done, but they don't want to bring forth the evidence. And number two, they want to throw a rock and hide the hand. Want to put it on a card and not sign it. Want to talk about I heard. No. Are you with me? Now you take witnesses and you accept. Now watch what Jesus said. And if he refused to hear them, tell it. Tell him his fault. Tell his fault unto the church. Now, what we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is public. But Jesus is showing how to bring it public. Which means that church discipline doesn't start just because it's well known. No. The way Jesus puts it, he said, listen, even on a private level, if you can't get it right, can't get it straight, expose him. Now, some of these husbands that's not doing right, and you got the evidence, no, you got the evidence. You got the phone record? Y'all not gonna pray with me. Go to him. And he just said, you can't tell me nothing. Call the elders. Call two or three other witnesses. Produce the evidence. Tell the brother you're wrong. Then if you don't want to hear that, to be honest about it, by this time, if he's really a good brother or a good sister, he gonna what? Because he gonna straighten it out, right? Yeah. And you know why? Because he knows the stages are, if I don't hear them, it's going public. Gonna bring it to the church. And say, brother, sister, so-and-so is not living right. The wife has come to him. The husband has come to him. we were in a business deal, and my brother didn't do me right. Went to him, talked to him. He refused you. Bring in the elders. Y'all quiet. If he doesn't respond to the elders, bring it to the church. Expose them to the church. But you got to expose them with evidence. Not hearsay. And then if they don't hit a church, hear what Jesus said. And if he refused to hear the church, that's the assembly, also let him be unto thee as a Gentile and the publican. In other words, it's obvious that this individual will not repent. Now, I assume that the church at Corinth had not gone through this process with this man. And now this man just sitting up here. That's how it happened. Because nobody's going to confront anybody. Well, we all got our weaknesses. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Your sin may not be mine, but we all got them. That time got away from me. You say, take my time? All right. Now watch him. He said, let him be unto thee. But you're still talking about your brother. But let him be unto thee as the what? The Gentile and the publican. Now he's speaking this in terms of Jewish. Are you with me? And so for one not to be a Jew, that meant he was a Gentile. Or he was a publican or a sinner. But the same process must happen in the church. Dealing with sin finally comes to a point where the church must act. But you don't overlook the steps. Somebody want to bring it to the church and you haven't even confronted them. Then you're going to come tell the elder something and you haven't even confronted. No, we want you. No, you. First thing I'm going to say, you come talking about, well, brother so-and-so, so-and-so, have you confronted him? What y'all need to do? No, you need to do something before it ever gets to us or to the church. So Jesus is in favor of this. That's why Paul appealed to his apostolic authority and to the authority and the power of Christ. Sin is to be dealt with radically. Let me show you another example. Jesus even said, if your right eye offend you, do what? Now this is even before you get to relationship. This is even before I do you wrong. Listen, brother, if you in your privacy know that there's a sin that is offending your whole body, there is no sin that will not affect your whole body. You got to excommunicate. And somebody said, well, we'd have a lot of blind folk and a lot of handless people, and that's a hyperbole. Jesus is just trying to show you how radically you need to deal with sin. Sin destroys any church. People already, a lot of things that's happening, folk already know all out there. And some of them shocked when they come into the church house and see you sitting up here. They say, what? And don't let you be over the Lord's table. Don't let you be in the pulpit. You mean tell me that, brother? We are seeking to build the foundation on which to grow this church. Let me deliver. Are you with me? All right. Unto Satan, publicly acknowledge, listen to this, publicly acknowledge him under the control of Satan. When you publicly withdraw fellowship, you let the church know this brother, this sister is under the control of the devil. Why? Because we have gone to them one time, two times, three times, and they refuse, so they're under the control of the devil. And when you withdraw fellowship, since that's what you've chosen, brother, then you can't stay here. We're people who are exercising righteousness. We're people here who are trying to keep our vessels unto righteousness. The God that we serve is a holy God. Holiness, righteousness. That's what we're about. I think we've gone too far with this idea of just saying, well, we just need to be understanding. We would have saved a whole lot of marriages had we started earlier. But we can sure save a lot of them coming up by doing what we need to do. We can save ourselves. Now watch this. I believe that there are only two realms. One is under the realm of God, where God reigns, and the other is where the devil reigns. Now, if you stay over here where God is, you're going to be blessed. Listen to what Jesus said. Thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So when you put a man over there with the devil, what the devil gonna do? Kill, steal, and destroy. He on his job. No. You don't want to hear that you're wrong. You want to just keep on persisting in your sin. Then go on out there with the devil and let the devil do a good job on you. Because you won't get better, you're going to get worse. No, you ain't going to get better because the devil going to do, see to it. Well, all right. Devil knows how to do his job. Let me show you something. For the destruction of the flesh, this speaks to what happens when one persists in his rebellion. Satan is an accuser of the brethren. He is a destroyer. Job chapter 2, verse number 6 through 7. And Jehovah said unto Satan, you remember the dialogue that the devil had with God? And God said, have you considered my servant Job? Job is an upright man, escheweth evil. And watch this. Listen, this is very crucial. The devil said, I would, but you got a hedge around him. Hear me well. When you try to follow God, God will put a hedge around you. I'm going to say it again. When you stay with God, God will put a hedge around you. The devil already, God already knows where the devil comes. And the devil, God will tell the devil, no. Don't do it. That's as far as you can go. No further. Oh, I missed my. Thank you. Did y'all hear what I said? Do I need to repeat what I just said? Y'all heard what I said, right? Okay. All right. When you turn a man over to the devil, and he going out there, whatever that hedge was over there, God lets that hedge open. You moving out from under the protection of God now. No, you bad. I can do what I want to do. You can't tell me anything. Well, go on, fool. I mean, go on, man. Go on out there. Go on, shake hands with the devil. Tell the devil, oh, no. We soul brothers. Go on out there to the party. Go on and hang out with the folk that you know are not even Christians. Go on and release yourself and just go on and do your thing. And I guarantee you, when the devil gets through, can you do the washing machine of temptation and sorrow, trials, tribulation? You gonna say to yourself, oh, Lord, have mercy. Let me get on back over here, Lord. Put up on the screen, Jonah chapter 2. You remember God told Jonah, go to where? And instead of Jonah going to Nineveh, he decided, I'm going to go to Tarshish. I'm going to run from God. Okay, crazy. Run from God if you want to. But I'm going to show you how God, see, even, that's why I say we got to keep the attitude of God. Because even though Jonah was running from God, God still what? Loved him. But you see, you remember, I know my time is gone. You say, go ahead? Okay. All right. Now listen to me. Here's what Jonah did. Finally, the men, when that storm came up, you know where that storm came from? That storm came from God. Run, Jonah, but I'm going to send a storm after you. I didn't spit on you, did I? All right. Now I said, I'm going to send a storm after you. And even the heathens knew that there's something extraordinary about this storm. And Jonah down there asleep had to wake him up and say, man, you ought to call on your God. And then finally Jonah said, I know why it's going on. Now I'm going to make this point. Listen, children of God know when they're wrong. People in the world may not know. But if you're a Christian, you know you're wrong. No. If you're a child of God, you already know you're wrong. You know you're wrong. And so Jonah said, I'm at fault. Throw me overboard. Let me show you what God did. Well, you know, the whale, the big fish, whatever you want to call it, prepared by God, swallowed him up. I want to show you the destruction of the flesh. When you know you've been thrown overboard, you thrown over that in the water, in the sea, how you going to survive? No, you're going to drown. Jonah knew I'm a goner. Jonah knew he was a goner, but because God loved him, God prepared a fish. Every brother who's seen God will fix a way to get a fish after him, a storm after him. But only when you turn him over, you got to throw him overboard. You can't stay here. We sure hate to do it. May the blood not be on our hand, but you got to go. No, you got to go. Now listen to Jonah. Let me show you. This is where true repentance starts coming in. Then Jonah prayed to whom? From the what? Verse 2. I cried out to whom? Because of my what? And he what? Out of the what? out of the belly of hell, out of the belly of the grave, out of the belly of death. I was a goner, I was a goner, I was a goner, but God heard me. Some of us, we don't have that kind of compassion for friend and loved one. Man, when we throw you away, brother, you gone for good. And they put dirt on you, they cover you up, and won't even put a marker where they buried you. You heard my voice. Watch verse number 3. For you cast me, what? Into the what? And the floods, what? All your what? And your what? Past what? Watch verse number. Then I said what? Yet I will what? Woo! Well, that's good preaching right there. He said what? Yet will I what? In other words, I'm drowning over here. I know I'm in this vicious belly, but I don't know how I'm going to get out of here. So all I can do is just cry. I'm over here in this club. They shooting, and I know I can't get out of here. Lord, help me get out of here. If you just let me get out of here, I'll be in service on Sunday morning. Caught that. Okay, I know I gotta quit. No, it's 9:20. I know better. Because I'm gonna be in the fish's belly if I don't. But I'm gonna tell you this. The prodigal son is another good example. He went and spent all of his living. His father let him go. Go on out there. You're bad. You don't want to stay with me and under my protection and you want your goods. Go do your thing. Well, go on. And he ended up in the what? Hog pen. Hungry. But this is what a child of God does. Because God wants to save you when you come to yourself. Where you going to head? I'm going back home to my father. And I don't want to go back claiming my position. Just let me come back and just be a hired servant. Even the hired servants are treated better than what I'm being treated of. But when he came back, what did his father do? Restored him to his position, put a ring on his finger, shoes on his feet, killed the fatted calf. This brother was lost, but now he's found. If we don't look at church discipline right, the rest of that text in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there's a lot of other good teaching. We'll get to it. But I'm telling you that we're going to have to accept the fact that this is what God calls for. Not to destroy, but to what? Save. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and you will find where even this man, when Paul wrote to that church about this man, somehow the discipline that they put in place corrected him. It corrected him. Saved him. Some of them didn't want to receive him, but he said, no, you got to receive him. Receive him back as a brother. God bless you. May God keep you. Forgive me. We're going longer than I should have, but I needed to go ahead and finish what I said. Everything I've said, I needed to say from the beginning to the end. This church is on a good course. We will come back and we're going to study church discipline in the Bible classes, where you can ask questions, where we can look at every nuance of it. And then once we are fully understanding, those individuals who need to be disciplined must be disciplined. So this church is seeking to do what God has asked us to do. Pray for us. That includes myself, all the way to the to the roaches that might be in this place. Amen. I haven't seen one, but just in case there is one, that gets us all. That gets us all. May God bless you. Somebody want to be in a place where God has a hedge around you, where God is blessing, where God, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You want to be in a place where he's blessing, carrying you through your trials, carrying you through your tribulations, keeping the devil at bay, not letting the devil get the upper hand on you. I beg you to come into Christ. Come where this great protection is, where God loves you. God wants to save you. God wants to prosper you. God wants you to thrive. You come by coming to Christ. Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except it come by me. Even before you get to the Father, he'll help you right here on this side of life. He'll help you. Will you come to him? You've heard the gospel. Believe it now with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water and grave of baptism. His Father, remission of sin. Isn't it wonderful to know that God will remit you of all your sin? God will forgive you of all your sin? God will restore you? God is a God of a second chance. He gave Jonah a second chance. When that fish swallowed Jonah and then vomited Jonah up, man, Jonah ran to Nineveh. Am I right about it? But he still didn't learn his lesson. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. Jonah, it takes a lot of discipline for Jonah, but we don't need to be like that. Will you come to Christ? Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?